So Chedrick Green was the big winner for the Democrats out in the Saginaw Bay City, Midland region of the 35th district for that vacant state senator seat that was left vacant by Karen McDonald Rivett when she won her congressional race.
Right.
And so for 16 months, nobody had been in that seat. And to me, it's crazy that it had even gone that long.
Man. I mean, come on.
It's crazy that it even gotten to that point. But Democrats win, and there was a lot of money spent in this race. What does that mean? What does it tell us about maybe the midterms, or what does it tell us about the state of Michigan? Marjorie Sabaugh Thompson is a professor of political science at Wayne State University and joins us this morning. Professor, it's good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
What did you make of the outcome of that particular race yesterday?
Well, the state senate in Michigan runs every 4 years. So 2022 is the last time that that was an electoral contest. And Kristen McDonald Rivett won by less than 10 percentage points. Chedrick Green looks like he's going to win by more like 20 percentage points. So it's quite a big shift toward the Democratic Party. Probably, if I were writing a headline for a newspaper, I would probably say gas and diesel prices drive voters toward Democrats. And you know, it gives you some sense of a competitive race that really is not competitive. 20% point victory, roughly, is not a very competitive race.
And when you see that kind of margin, Professor, does that suggest voters are sending a message or just choosing between two candidates?
Well, it's hard to always say what voters are thinking when they vote. And special elections are always low turnout affairs. It's a little bit the total vote so far, and they're still counting, so this will change a little bit. But it's about 62,000 votes in the 2022 with a, you know, statewide election. It was 116,000. So, you know, almost double, not quite double. So it's a little bit hard to read the tea leaves. One thing I think you can say is that Democrats are more motivated because you get a, you know, a much bigger turnout margin, and turnout matters.
Yeah, so you mentioned gas prices. If you're writing that newspaper headline as to why, maybe what went wrong here for the Republicans, is this an indictment more on state Republican politics, or is this more an indictment on what we're seeing at the federal level?
I think it's an indictment at the federal level. People, in my experience, and I teach state politics, so it breaks my heart, but people really don't understand the differences between state and federal, and the federal gets so much more news coverage that people are voting on things that are happening nationally between the two parties.
You know, and Republicans are downplaying this, saying that, you know, special elections don't predict November. Is that historically accurate?
Not necessarily. There's a lot of history of special elections being bellwethers, and it depends. You wouldn't want to pick just one, but there has been a pattern nationally of several other special elections where Democrats have done especially well, better than you would normally predict. And that's the case here. You wouldn't normally predict that this would be a 20 percentage point margin of victory, because this should be, by all accounts looking at it, it should be a competitive district, possibly even a swing district. So 20 percentage points is unexpectedly large.
Yeah, it's substantial.
I would say.
Let's play the what-if game. If you were put in charge of running the campaigns here in the state of Michigan for Republicans, what would you advise them to do based on what we saw last night?
I would pick places where I thought they might be at risk and concentrate on those instead of trying to expand the playing field. I think they need to play, in the sports terms, I think they need to play defense.
Interesting.
And you know, Tunney says this is only the halfway point because he's going to, you know, run against him again in November. Does Green have a real advantage now as an incumbent, even if it's only for a short time?
Normally, incumbents have an advantage. They have opportunities to get their names out there just by media coverage of what they do, and opportunities to do casework and have, you know, meetings with constituents in the district where they help them solve problems. And that matters. You know, you hear about your neighbors getting help from the elected official, and, you know, that's why incumbency is helpful.
Really interesting, and obviously something that that we'll see how this plays a role later on this year. Marjorie Sabaugh Thompson, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Meanwhile, interesting piece out of NerdWallet. Mm-hmm. One in three Americans say they have too many credit cards.
I believe that.
And you know, you've got advisors that will tell you, you know, cutting back on your credit cards, consolidating debt, that's important because the more you have open, mm-hmm. right, that can affect your credit score, things like that.
That's right.
But just look at the sheer numbers in which our debt, our credit card debt as a country,
okay.
has gone up. Obviously, our debt, our federal national debt is buku. Mm-hmm. It's off the charts.
Right.
But if you go back 20 years, right, okay. 2006, the credit card debt amongst all Americans was about $770 billion.
Okay.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
2006 or any year. It's a lot.
20 years later, it's at an all-time high. $1.39 trillion of credit card debt here in this country. And why is that? Could it be affordability? Things are too expensive. People are overexerting themselves. Mm-hmm. Right, things like that. If you can't, if your output isn't what the input is,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
right. And
it
so
is.
People lean on those credit cards, but it's just shocking to me. First of all, I didn't have a credit card till very late in life. I wouldn't get one.
Okay, I had one. I think I had one probably when I was 19, and I think the credit limit was like $500.
Yeah, sure,
know, something like that.
Yeah, manageable.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure I ran it up to 500
a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, a few times. Yeah. But yeah, you know, years later, you know, I had several credit cards, like department store credit cards and all that, and uh-huh. I refinanced 100 years ago,
sure.
and got rid of all of that, man, because it was just crazy. It was just too much.
It's too much, and it's almost like, you know, these streaming services now, like, tell me how many streaming services you pay for. You probably even know.
I got an idea.
You can think of them.
I can think
of them,
but there's probably
other stuff
more,
that, right? Exactly. So it's like, that's right, I did open that line of credit uh-huh. over there, and uh-huh. I bought that couch, and you don't even think about it.
No.
But, yeah, people say they have too many credit cards.
God, trillion now.
Almost $1.4 trillion as of early this year. Unbelievable.
Whew.
Coming up on the other side, is Iran Vietnam for Donald Trump? We'll explore next.